Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the program, Miss Christy Linder. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you doing?
We are doing great, Christy. Can you share a little bit about what you're up to?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, there's so many different things. I think the big one right now, I wrote a book, and my book is called The Me-See Muse, 100 Plus Selected Practices, Unwritten Rules and Habits of Great Consultants. And I'm super excited about the book. It really talks about my journey over the last 16 years in consulting. And I cannot wait to share it with the world. I'm in the throes of kind of the publishing process, and I'm super excited to be able to share it soon.
Now, what does the word MISI mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, so I am a management consultant. This is the type of work I've been doing for, like I said, 16 years or so. And in consulting, we have a technique called MISI, and it stands for Mutually Exclusive, Collectively Exhaustive. And it's one of many techniques that we typically use to get to the root cause of a problem, because clients usually hire us. They want to solve really complex business problems. And what we've typically found in a lot of cases is that some of the patchwork or band-aid solutions that are in place really look at the symptoms. You know, really, they don't really get to the crux of the issue. Mm-hmm. So MISI is just kind of a way for us to think about a problem and be able to get to that, root cause. So that's kind of how the book name came about. I guess I'll give a little bit about, when I was writing it. I've never written a book. this is my first time writing one.
Sure.
And I just said, well, I don't know what to do, but I want, it's in my heart to do this. So I just started writing. I spent about a year or so, just every day writing something. Some days I inspiration to write a page. Other days I wrote a couple sentences. Some days I was able to kind of bang out 5 pages. So kind of in that process, I was just writing whatever came to mind as I remembered experiences or anecdotes or advice that I had over the course of my career. And after doing that for about a year or so, I amassed, hundreds of pages of content. And I said, how am I going to organize this stuff? Like, I don't even, I hadn't even thought about things. So then I had to kind of reverse engineer. I created, started to think about bucketing things and chapters and categorizing and moving stuff. And when I was going through that process, I was saying to myself, well, this is not MISI enough. I need this to be a bit more, MISI. And so that was kind of the way I would do it. And I would muse. I would think about, well, here's something I want to add here, or here's another element I wanted to include. And at the time when I was writing the book, if I can tell you, Stone, I didn't know what the topic of the book was going to be about. I didn't know what the angle was. I just said, I've had all these amazing experiences and I feel, so blessed at the point in my life that I am now, I want to start sharing that. And so it just kind of over time organically came to me, and I said, I'm going to call the book The MISI Muse, because I literally use that technique to organize my thoughts. And then I know some people that may be reading the book may not have, they may not know what the word MISI is. So I added in the subtitle 100 Plus Selected Practices, Unwritten Rules and Habits of Great Consultants, just to kind of codify it a bit more. So that was how the name came about.
Now, when you were doing the writing every day or on a rhythm, was that stuff that you were writing privately, or were you kind of publishing it on a blog publicly?
Yeah, I was writing it privately. So I just, just had a Word doc open, and as I was writing, it would come to mind. So, I mean, it then became a kind of a lifestyle. which actually ultimately led to me starting a blog, believe it or not. So I started writing, and like I said, just whatever came, I wrote it down. And then there'd be times that, you know, let's say if I'm at the gym or I'm at the, you know, supermarket or at the airport, little kind of things will come to, you know, I'll remember things and I'm like, ooh, I can't write this down. So I started recording bits and then going back and writing them in. So that was the process. Now, in hindsight, I don't know if that was the most productive or efficient process. I am typically a very organized and very structured, logical thinker, logical type of person. And so this is a very creative way. And it actually taught me a lot about myself and about, you know, what I could do. So it was a great experience in hindsight.
So now what are that you got, you know, introspectively from going through the process?
So going through the process, I guess one of the biggest learnings that I had was, you know, you have to kind of always have to kind of challenge your thinking and not get caught up in just one way of looking at something. And so I say that because I would write different things, and then through interactions, whether it's with my clients or with my colleagues, you know, they would say something that was a little different than what I was thinking, you know, for something that I wrote. And it actually made me rethink about it and refine it. So I ended up doing a lot of refining, you know, obviously with the book, it's my baby. And so I refined significantly. And when I guess in the past, when I've done things, I usually am, you know, like to put something out there and make sure it works. But this process allowed me, it really challenged my worldview. It challenged how I looked at doing things and how it could be different. And I think the other part is, it really helped me figure out what matters most. And that's when I started to really figure out who my reader was, you know, what is it that I was trying to say? Because what, you know, writing every day, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you may add that, you know, may not be applicable to the narrative you're trying to create. And so it helped me to really laser focus in on who this book was about and who this book is for.
So who is the book about and who is it for?
Glad you asked. So the Misi News, it really provides, in a nutshell, an inside scoop on the unwritten rules of the consulting world. And I focus on giving readers really the real deal insights on how to become a great consultant. So this is not one of those, you know, here's the mechanics of consulting and talking to the basics. It's really about if you want to really make an impact for your client, you want to, you know, create an amazing career, you really want to be great. This is the book for you. And I wrote the book kind of from, you know, the lens that I had. So, you know, growing up, you know, I knew since college I wanted to be a consultant. I just kind of got exposure to that line of work in different internships. And so when I came into consulting, I learned really quickly that, you know, being that I was first generation American, you know, I'm first kind of college grad, there was a lot of resources and information I didn't really have access to. So, you know, you got to consider back then there wasn't a lot of, you know, Google wasn't really prevalent and, you know, that whole world was not happening. You know, the whole world we live in today just wasn't around. The resources were not as accessible. So the first 5 years of my career, I didn't really have a lot of mentors. You know, I had colleagues and clients and work and things to do, but I didn't really have someone that was taking me under their wing to say, hey, Christy, here's how you do things, right? And that, because of that, I did struggle. And while I had really good experiences, it's just not the same when you don't have someone that's kind of taking you under their wing.
Sure.
So fast forward now in my career, I do have mentors and guides, and I'm just at a really good place now. I've learned from so many different opportunities. And I said, you know what? I want to write the book in the voice of a mentor. You know, I really want to be the mentor that I wish I never had. I really want to be the mentor that I wish I had.
Sure.
you know, the mentor that, you know, sees your drive and takes you under their wings, the mentor that, like, you know, helps you with a presentation or a project, you know, a mentor that, you know, when you've had a rough day, you can call and give your thoughts and they can give you some words of encouragement from, you know, help you see another day. Like, I so strive to be that in so many people's lives today. And I said, you know what, this is my Pay It Forward book.
Now,
you know, I remember when I first, yep.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Did when you were titling the book, did you consider calling it the Misi Mentor instead of Muse?
You know, actually, I didn't. I didn't. That's actually not that's a really great, a great idea. I know I really focused when I put the book name together, it was really based on kind of the journey of how the book was written. But you know, that is a good name. I mean, that's actually maybe a nice name for a second book. So, I'll have to definitely consider it for sure.
Now, when you were in college and you were thinking, you know what, I'm going to get into consulting, and you pictured consulting a certain way and a consultant behaving a certain way and serving a certain way, and then you did it for a while and now you've done it for a pretty long while. What were the differences, and what would you tell your young Christy, what would you tell young Christy about the business?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when I first started, and I think a lot of young consultants fall into this trap where, you know, you know, the first thing is you kind of struggle with the definition of what a consultant is, I think, in the beginning. Even if you think you know, you're kind of still not sure what that really means. And I didn't realize how much of, you know, me trying to figure out the definition was important to the foundation of my career. And I say that because in the beginning of my career, I really wanted to make sure that I worked really hard and I focused on creating, you know, a credible brand, but I did it in a way that was transactional. You know, I didn't really focus on building relationships or having people get to know me personally. You know, for me, you know, I was in an environment where I was usually, you know, the only female, you know, sometimes, you know, the only, you know, person of color. And so I had to, you know, I felt like I had to always kind of show that I knew what I was had to, you know, kind of prove, whether that's real or perceived, but that was the way that I operated. You know, I operated from the mindset that I have to be smart and I have to be hardworking. And I put so much emphasis and effort into the technical part of my role, more as opposed to the relationship and the personal part of my role. And that's something that, you know, years later, you get it, you know, I've now added that element to my brand, but that's something in hindsight that I think a lot of young consultants don't realize how important it is to remember, you know, just that people, it's not about the deliverable, you know, that you create, it's about the experience and the friendships and the colleagues and the relationships you build with your client. That's what people remember. They don't remember how fabulous your PowerPoint presentation was, you know, and that's something I really wish someone taught me. And I'm hopeful that, in my book, I bring that to life in a lot of different ways.
Can you share a story maybe that illustrates the difference between how you would kind of transactionally relate to a client and then how, once you are more confident in your self-worth in the relationship, that you can then add that extra layer of value?
Yeah. So it's another great question. So I think about one story. I had a client, let's say she's probably like an executive director level. And my manager was out sick. And so I was asked, since I was very close to the data, I had done all the research for this data. When our team got together and talked about, you know, who should do this presentation, because we had this meeting scheduled, my manager was out sick. And it was decided, well, Christy, you know this stuff, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to stretch. And when I, you know, I'm just super nervous. It's my first time, you know, I was having like this face-to-face interaction with a, you know, a senior. So she, you know, my client kind of comes in, into the room, and I, you know, I'm kind of going through the motions, and she seems a little distracted, but I didn't really think about stopping and pausing what I was talking about to ask her why. In my mind, I'm like, okay, my manager's out. I've got to give this message. You know, this is important. You know, we've got to like get this done. So I walked in with a very kind of narrow mindset. And I didn't have that, like I said, I didn't have kind of that deep relationship to feel comfortable to ask her questions, like what's going on. And so it turns out, I find out after the meeting, that, one of her children had actually been hit by a car. And she found out on the way to work. And so after so the only meeting she actually honored was our meeting, because there was kind of a contractual obligation to it, but then she was going to be gone for the rest of the day. And, you know, of course, you know, my manager and others, everyone kind of finds out, and, you know, we feel bad, and just, you know, making sure that she's okay. And I felt really, really bad. And I didn't, and I said, man, like that was such a, I was just kind of blindsided. Like I didn't stop to say, wow, Christy, you know, you can tell something was wrong. Why didn't you say it? Why didn't you ask her, you know, is everything okay? Or just give her the space, or, cause I felt like in hindsight, if I had walked in the room and I, you know, now knowing what I know now, if I had walked in that same room and I saw the look on her face, I would have asked her, you know, I wouldn't even started the meeting and talked about what I came with. I would have put that aside and said, hey, you know, I see you look, you know,
you're a little out of it, right?
What's going on? Yeah. And give her the space to say, here's what's going on in her mind. And today I would have, you know, we automatically scheduled, like, we're not having this conversation.
Right.
I'm surprised you're even in the office. You need to go home and take care of your kids.
Right. Like, you know, human to human. That's how humans interact with humans. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of one example of,
but that's
of
a, that's a that, great, that's a great example, Christy, because it shows like you were in your own head and you were looking at her being distant and maybe making assumptions about why. And the real why had nothing to do with you or anything you were talking about. Had her own, she had bigger problems than anything you were talking about, really. And a lot of times people make those kind of assumptions based on their own kind of internal dialogue rather than, you know, truly understanding the other person and truly being empathetic to the other person's situation. And there is no shortcut if you're dealing transactionally, those are the ways you would think in transactional terms. Whereas in this case, if you were able to have a deeper relationship, it's like you said, today you would treat it totally different. You would say, hey, what's wrong? Something seems amiss. What is everything all right? And then she would probably tell you, because you're treating her, you know, kind of peer to peer, human to human. And then you would say, oh no, you have got more important things in this meeting. And then you would give her the freedom to leave. And that's a great lesson for everybody, you know, to not second guess yourself. You sense something was amiss, but it was just so early in your career, you weren't confident enough to say, you know what, I'm going to say something about this. I'm not just going to check the boxes that I have this job, you know, this obligation I have to get through this, you know, presentation.
Yeah. And honestly, that was actually the beginning of me, because I felt so bad about that. And I didn't really have anyone to talk about it to either. I just internally said, in my mind, I said, anytime I walk into a client meeting, if I'm presenting or if it's my team or whomever, the first thing I'm going to do from now on is I'm going to just take a quick pulse to see where's the energy level with my client. Like, are they happy? Are they sad? Are they, you know, what's going on with them? And adjust the message accordingly. So it unfortunately had to happen in that manner. But I just, you know, so it's kind of like, that's one example of something I kind of had to learn along the way.
Right.
And, you know, those are the things, those moments really matter.
Sure.
You know, those moments extremely, you know, they really matter and they can make the difference in a client relationship or, you know, the way you handle that. And so I really try to make sure, you know, I let younger consultants know that type of information. So they're not afraid to, you know, to kind of let their, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to have balance between professional and personal, but those moments really matter. So.
And trust your instincts. If something feels wrong, yeah, don't ignore it. There could be something wrong.
Right.
Now, as part of your book, it's not you just waxing eloquent about these real life anecdotal stories about your own life. You also interviewed some leaders, isn't that right?
Yeah, I sure did. So I think that was kind of part of that MISI process that I was going through. And I thought about, it was good for me to, you know, to have my story. But what can really, really bring this to life more? And I always, I have the, my own personal principle is, you know, if you want to be successful, you emulate, emulate those who are successful. That's kind of something I always abide by. So that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to start reaching out to partners in consulting. So in a traditional consulting career path,
mm-hmm,
people, you know, usually people kind of move up over, you know, a course of, you know, 15 to 20 years, depending, into, you know, the pinnacle of a career is becoming a partner, which is a similar model to like a lawyer, right?
Sure.
In a firm. So that's kind of the pinnacle. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to start reaching out to partners. So that gave me an opportunity to connect with a lot of partners I worked with. And I was able to, you know, in the book, I share 22 interviews. I was able to connect with about over 50 partners across every type of consulting firm you can think of.
Wow.
So some of them I knew and I worked for and I loved. And others were referrals, you know, when I asked people, who are some great leaders? So the other thing that I made sure is that I didn't just pick anyone that was just a partner. They had to be what I called first-class leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to emulate, you know, the principles of being a great consultant, which is, you know, like, as I mentioned, it's bigger than the work. It's about the people and people that, you know, have kind of that type of empathy. So that was like very important criteria. And partners are extremely busy people. And I was very thankful for those that, made the time, interviewed with me. Each one, I spent about an hour speaking to them, which is amazing. Others didn't have the time to interview, but they sent me like books or articles or resources or little anecdotes that they wanted, you know, to be part of this project.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of very surprising to see, you know, how much support I got from leadership. Oh, and some of these, mind you, you know, I work for a very large consulting firm.
Sure.
Some of these were, you know, kind of competitors, and they, you know, they told me, hey, Christy, I'll help you out, you know, but I can't let, you know, I can't have my name tied to this because you work for a competitor.
Right.
But that showed the, you know, how amazing they were. You know, they understood what the project and the mission was, and they believed in it so much, and they believed in the consulting profession that they didn't let the fact that, you know, I worked for a competitor, you know, deter them from contributing.
Right.
So, you know, that says a lot about somebody. So.
Yeah, and that's a really good add-on to this book. So the writing process, you learned some stuff. What'd you learn from the interviewing process?
The interviewing process, I think the biggest thing was patience. You know, chasing partners is like chasing celebrities, honestly. You know, they don't have a lot of time, and you got to catch them when you can. And then, you know, trying to do that on top of, like, you know, my day-to-day work. That was a very extremely challenging process, but very rewarding. I actually, you know, when I wrote the book, it was kind of a pay it forward. I actually learned a lot myself in just speaking to them, learning about what brought them to the career, what do they believe a great consultant is, and what are some of the lessons that they've had, and hearing their stories. And it just, you know, I've been in consulting my whole career. So when you're in the career for so long, you've kind of built up, you know, what I now call urban legends, right?
Sure.
You know, of what you think success should be, or what the mental map of what, you know, a consulting career is. And those interviews completely dispelled, I think, almost every myth that I had. And I share those myths in the book. Because I know it's not just me. There's, even some partners I've spoken to kind of abide by some of the myths that I was able to dispel. So I think it's going to be a great read for anyone that is either looking to become a consultant or that's been in consulting and want a different perspective.
So when is the book coming out?
So I am looking to publish the book after Labor Day. I originally was going to publish this summer and decided to wait. You know, summertime, people are off and, you know, enjoying summer and family time. So I decided, well, you know, probably be best to publish after Labor Day. So September is now my published date.
And then I heard a rumor that you might be putting together a podcast to complement the book.
Yes. So thank you for mentioning that. So on July 7th, that's my launch date for the podcast. I call the podcast, it's called the Missy Muse Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
So what's nice is in the book, I mentioned I speak to a lot of consulting partners, and I really took like a top-down approach, you know, speaking to leaders and them sharing their feedback. With the podcast, it's going to be really like, I call it like a pop-up. I haven't decided if it's going to be weekly or bi-weekly yet. I'm still kind of thinking through the frequency of it. But it is going to be more of a bottoms-up approach, so, and a more of a variety show. So still using the concepts from the frameworks that I've shared in the book. I'll have, you know, different people interviewing, having people share their stories. They're, you know, looking for advice. You know, experts in the field coming and you know, providing some insights for consultants for, you know, emerging trends, just a variety of different things, again, from the voice of a mentor. And I said, you know, while I'm kind of still going through the publishing process, let me have this pop-up podcast series. And my goal, like, you know, I think once, you know, I've covered kind of the different concepts throughout the entire book, I think I'll end the show. So I don't have an end date for the show, but I'm super excited. I mentioned the idea to a number of people just within my close circle. And I've got well over 15 interviews lined up. I mean, people are super excited. They think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have fun. So again, it's the Missy Muse Unplugged. It will launch July 7th. And if you want to learn more information, we'll have information up on missymuse.com for people to check it out. It should be a lot of fun.
Now, before we wrap this, I want to talk a little bit about, both of us got a chance and we met through the Alt MBA program. Can you talk about your experience on that?
Man, the Alt MBA was, this may sound cliche, but it was really life altering. Is the best 4 weeks of time as chaotic of an intense time that it was as a leadership development program, but I've learned so much, and it allowed me, you know, it allowed me to let a lot of my personality shine more. Again, mm-hmm. you know, if you've been in a field for over a decade plus, I think I've realized through this program that I had conformed to some of the traditional kind of elements of being in corporate. And I realized there was a lot of things that I used to love doing when I was younger that I kind of stopped doing. And this program made me question why. I loved it. I would highly recommend it. Anyone that's looking to level up in their career or in their life, want to look at something differently, get feedback, meet amazing people, I highly, highly recommend it.
Now, was this something that you told your company about and they said, you know what, Christy, go for it. We're going to fund it. And, you know, just this sounds like a wonderful program. Or was this something you did on your own?
Yeah, this is something I decided to do on my own. Usually in the company that I work for, it takes a while to get, you know, something that's like off, you know, this is something that would be kind of outside, that's not like approved. It would take a while to go through the approval processes. So I just said, well, you know, it was something I wanted to do. It was just the right season in my life to do it now. I didn't want to wait. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go for it. But yeah, my team knows. You know, they're super excited to hear about my journey. I am going to be hosting an event on June 21st. I'm hosting an event on my experiences in the old MBA. So super excited.
And you're doing that in your work, or you're doing it out in the where you live? Where's the event? Or it's online?
It's going to be virtual.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
I've decided to hold a virtual session for about 15 folks. So I just literally posted a couple days ago, and I think I've got already like 12 people signed up.
Wow.
So it's really, and so people are hearing about all MBA, and I think the word is gaining out, and it's worth it. I think for anyone who's interested in programs like that, it's really, you know, what you put into it is what you get out of it. You know, so it's one of those, you're not going to have, you know, people, you know, dinging you for missing deadlines or dinging you for not doing work, you know, to the best of your ability. It's all on you. And it's creating that level of self-accountability that's critical for us to be successful. So I think it's a great, great exercise and a great opportunity for those that want that.
Well, Christy Linder, it has been an absolute pleasure. If somebody wanted to get a hold of the book, again, the website?
Yeah, they can check out my website, my blog, ChristyLindor.com. You can sign up for, once the book is coming out, we'll send out announcements, and we're actually going to set up some kind of freebies on the site. If you're interested in the podcast as well, you can go to MeCMuse.com. And I can be found on LinkedIn. I'm a big LinkedIn person, so you can follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well, Christy Lindor.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, Christy Lindor, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.